When it comes to your sales stack, stop tool hopping and start winning with Nux. Simplify your outbound today at nux.ai/salesgravy. That's nooks.ai/salesgravy.
This is the Sales Gravy Podcast. Hi, I'm Jeb Blunt, best-selling author of Fanatical Prospecting, Objections, Sales EQ, and Inked, and I'm here to help you open more doors, close bigger deals, and rock your commission check.
Welcome back to the Sales Gravy Podcast. I'm Jeb Blunt Jr. Call me JBJ if you'd like. And we have one of my favorite guests, one of my favorite people in this industry on the podcast today. I'll introduce him really quickly, but he has released 4 books. His most recent book is what we're talking about today. And he is a pillar in the sales training community. He's prospecting just genius, a prospecting savant. He also has worked some of the most high-level deals in company history. He's also worked with some of the elite sales teams across the globe. Today, we have the Sales Hunter, the guy with the podcast, with the blog, with the keynotes, with the books. And today, we're talking about Integrity First Selling, his new book that's coming out. Mark, welcome back to the Sales Gravy Podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. JBJ. Those initials are going to stick with you forever.
They are, and you know, our good friend Victor Antonio who gave it to him. gave it to me. So you have Integrity First Selling. Mark, we have had you on the podcast so many times. We've had you at Outbound Conference, by the way, going on in November. We have had you for so many pieces of content over the years, and I think it would be a shame to not introduce new audience members to you. So give people a little bit of background. Where do you come from? Why are you in sales? Why are you sitting right here in the Sales Gravy Podcast with 4 books? What brain damage happened that you got here?
Well, yeah, the brain damage. And that is my last name, Hunter. People always say, so you're known as the Sales Hunter. What was your name before you changed it? No, that was
your stage name. Yeah.
So, naturally, I just had to go with that. No, hey, I didn't want to go into sales. I did not want to go into sales. In fact, I wanted to be a disc jockey. You're listening to the Mighty 95. Anyway, that's a long story. That's not what you tell your parents you're going to do when you're in college. So I figured, I'll get out of college. I'll get a job. Problem was, I got too many speeding tickets when I was in college. And I got out and I couldn't afford car insurance. And it meant I had to figure out something because I had a car payment, reason I got speeding tickets, apartment rent, and insurance paid monthly. So I said, wait a minute, if I get a job that supplies me with a company car, I can eliminate a couple of those payments, right?
This is before like digital background checks when they were hiring people.
Pretty dewy kind of driver background check. Exactly. I got a job that supplied me with a company car. It was a sales job. I didn't want to be in sales. I got fired from that job after a year. Got a second sales job, second company car, and got fired from that job after 7 months. I'm on my third sales job, third company car. And my boss's boss brings me into his office, sits me down. I'll swear I'm getting fired. I know I'm getting fired. And he says, why are you in sales? I wanted to say the Buick, but no, that really wasn't awkward too well. Just not going to work. So anyway, I don't know what I said. He said, you really don't know what you're doing. Well, gee, obvious. That's
tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, tell me. Well, let's cut to the chase. Just because you're not taking the time to understand the customer. You're not taking the time to listen. And it was interesting, but that wasn't like suddenly the sales world opened up to me, but it began to open my eyes that you got to take the time to listen to the customer. You got to understand the customer. Because up to that point, I was really treating the customer as if they were a bowling pin. My job is just to knock them down, take their money and run fast. And I was creating a lot of chaos behind me. Ooh, did I do something wrong? I don't know. I got the commission. Yeah. Not a way you build a sales career. So anyway, it was that third job that I began to realize what sales
was. Wait, go back to the disc jockey really quickly. What was your time slot? And then what was your favorite record to start spinning? If you're going to impress your date and tell them that you're a disc jockey and they listen to you on the radio, what is your record and what song are you putting on?
Anything by the Doobie Brothers. You're listening to the Mighty 95 KQZ Radio 719 in the city. Going to a high of 68 today. The Doobies, Long Train Running.
That long train a-running.
That was long before you were born, boy. That was in the 70s, okay?
It's also a great song. If you listen to that song, you got a lot of runway. You got long train a-running. You've got time to get a coffee. You got time to think about your next record. You got time to think about the next song. What do you pair? Just back to the disc jockey thing. What do you pair up after the long train a-running? What's your next go-to?
You know, that probably would be, you know, I could slow it down, do the Commodores. You know, or maybe throw a little Bee Gees in there. This is AM top 40 radio in Seattle, Washington. But then again, when the pizza guy comes, I got to put on Inagata DeVita so I can go downstairs and get the pizza. Or bye-bye, Miss American Pie, the long version.
Yeah, it's a 9 minute and 50-something second song.
You know your radio, boy.
I know that song back and forth because this is a fun fact, Mark, that I'm going to tell the audience, but I'm also telling you. American Pie by Don McLean is however many, 9 minutes, 57 seconds long. It is almost exactly the exact same time in terms of distance from my house to my high school. And so I would listen to it back and forth every day for like an entire semester because I swear I wanted to learn that song because Carrie, our CFO, my mother, it was her song that she showed me when I was like 8 years old. And so I know that song back. You're going to get DMCA'd. Mark, you're too good. You can't do that. So you got into these jobs because you had car insurance you had to pay for, which you couldn't because you had sweep tickets and you had these cars that you kept getting from these companies, which is incredible. I wish I'd have known that when I was 21. You realize after this guy sits you down, he says, look, you don't know what you're doing. And you were treating customers like bowling pins. So I think it's a good segue into you've written this book called Integrity First Selling. Integrity is one of those words that I think gets a lot of airplay, a lot of airtime. And you said go deep. So I'm going to get you some good questions here. Integrity is talked about a lot in terms of organizations and leadership and how we go about our jobs. Everyone knows what integrity is, but it seems like not a lot of people actually know what integrity is, if that makes sense. Common sense is not so common, as the great John Prine once said. So tell me a little bit about what you believe integrity is and how does that inform the rest of your book as you've written it?
Sure. Let's back up the bus here because the fact that we even have to talk about integrity is a shame. I mean, it really is, because again, integrity should be like air, water. It's just there. It's just there. But the fact we do, because unfortunately, the sales profession, it doesn't have really a great reputation because there's too much bait and switch out there. There's too much false expectations. And this was some of my problem early on in sales. It's why my career wasn't going so well, because again, I was delivering false expectations. And this is what integrity selling is all about. It's about stop. It's about realizing it's not the sales journey, it's the buyer's journey. And this is one of the first things we have to understand. It's the buyer's journey. And that means you've got to understand what is the buyer's need. And this does not mean that you back off. You're like, well, call me when you're ready to buy. Hey, my definition of prospecting is very simple. If you have the ability to help someone, you owe it to them to reach out to them. That's my definition of prospect. And to me, that's integrity. Because if I can, I got a lot of problems. You've known me long enough. I have a lot of problems. My kids tell me I have a lot of problems. So if you could help me, I would want you to reach out to me. And that's part of integrity. But integrity is also by taking the time just to listen to you. And if I'm not the right choice, if I'm not the right selection, I'm going to refer you to somebody else. Whoa, wait a minute. Hold it. You're willing to give up commission? Yeah, I am willing to give up commission. Because here's what I found. I play the long game, and integrity selling only works if it's long game. You have to play the long game. It is amazing how that customer is going to respect you more. And you know what? You're going to wind up getting more business. Because in this day and age of social media and everybody knows everything, customers talk. You mess up a customer, they're going to talk. They're going to tell somebody else. But you delight a customer, they're going to tell somebody else. So integrity selling, I think, is the yin to the AI yang. You think about that. I mean, AI allows us to send out so many thousands of emails. Ooh, wait a minute. I send a bad email to one person. Now I can send it to 1,000 people, a bad email. That's suicide. But that's what's happening with AI. And so integrity is just the opposite. It's that personal relationship that I understand truly what it is that you're looking for. What is JBJ looking for? That's how I'm going to help you.
So with this integrity selling model where it is about the buyer's journey, I think this just it's so fundamental. It is crazy that we're talking about this. Walk a mile in someone else's moccasins, right? It is the golden rule. It is treat others the way you want to be treated. And I think that this sounds really easy because it's simple. Simple is not always easy. And you've got a lot of challenge with the sales profession today that I see, which is the problem around scarcity. So we don't want to give up that commission check. Are you willing to give up that commission check? You have been in the marketplace selling your services for decades. You've got a lot of experience with these organizations. When you have gone about your sales process with that kind of integrity and you have turned someone over to another vendor who might be a better fit, or you've just said no flat out because it's not the good fit for you and you've made those tough choices, a lot of salespeople don't ever make those choices because they're afraid it'll never bear fruit. What kinds of fruit have you borne from being able to sell with integrity over your career?
Yeah, let me give you a story of one that didn't go so well. I remember sitting in front of a buyer, and I had an item that he was interested in, and he bought inventory for his stores that was just, it was like a 10-year supply. It was like a 10-year supply, way too much. But he wanted it. He wanted it. So I took the order. I took the order. I didn't say anything. I get in my car, I drive back to the office, and I'm like, you know, that was probably too much. Probably should cut that down. Probably cut that down. And I tell the story in my book. I walk into the office and I wave this order around. This back in the days when you physically had an order.
You had them in your hands and you didn't have to click a button and just wait for the digital gods to tell you that you've done it.
And man, I was a hero. I was a hero. It was unbelievable. And the commission check was unbelievable. It was fantastic. And the whole time I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. But I sure felt good. And man, that commission check felt great. This was excellent. And it was way too much. Fortunately, I got transferred to a different area of the country shortly thereafter. A couple of years later, I heard from the salesperson who took over that account. And he said, yeah, he said, it was way too much. Not only did they have a hard time getting rid of it, but they literally threw a lot of it away and wrote the whole inventory off.
Wow.
He said, yeah, I don't think your name would be very highly regarded if you were to show back up at that account. That's a sad comment. That's a sad comment. Conversely, there have been people who I have met and not been able to really do anything with. There's just nothing here. But 2, 3, 4 years later, you suddenly see incredible sums of business coming from that relationship because you just continue to nurture it. You just stay in the game. You built the relationship, and it's amazing at what happens. And that's the whole thing I say. We do not want to close sales. Don't close sales. You open relationships. You open a relationship. Because when you do that, hey, we've invested all this time getting this customer. Why do we sit there and hand them off to customer success and never talk to them again? Whoa, hold it. That's a disruption in the sales process. We got to change. I land you as a customer. I want to stay in touch with you forever because you now become a salesperson working for me. Because if I treat you right, you're going to tell others about me. That's how I build my business. That's playing the long game. And what does that do? It just continues to multiply.
All right. So let's go into this Integrity for Selling book a little bit further. Why did you write it? And why did you write it now?
You know, it's funny. I put it off for several years. Several years ago, I had several people approach me. I remember people, Mark, you always talk about integrity and so forth. And you da, 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 da. Why don't you write a book on it? I said, no, I just can't do it. I just can't. No, it's just, but then with AI exploding on the scene here and just becoming bigger and bigger, and without a doubt, the traditional sales process is broken. It just said, wait a minute, the time is right. We have to change how it is that we sell. We have to look at things differently. And I've always talked about how prospecting is about qualifying fast. I want to qualify fast so I spend more time with fewer prospects. Think about that. What am I doing? I'm creating a deeper relationship. I'm creating a deeper relationship to be able to understand you better and to be able to serve you better. Isn't that integrity? I began looking around at all the stuff I've been doing. Hold it. This really fits into this integrity first model. And it just calls it out. And it's funny, but as I was writing the book, I had to keep thinking, am I doing everything with integrity? And I'll tell you a story here. And this happened. I was really finishing writing the book. And I do a lot of speaking all over the country, around the world, you know, like you guys do there at Sales Gravy. And I had this great engagement with a great company. I won't say the company's name. And then this other company said, hey, can we get you for a day and a half for this here and so forth? Yeah. Perfect. It's going to work out perfect. I can go between Minneapolis and Cleveland. This is going to work perfect. Not a problem. Da, da, da. About 4 weeks before the event, the dates overlap. I didn't catch it. My staff didn't catch it because I had written the date down wrong. My staff person who normally handles all my bookings happened to be on vacation and I handled the thing myself. Stupid, big mistake. Rely on your staff. And it was funny, but I immediately called up the one. I said, hey, can you move me a day? Can you move me a day? No, they can't do it. Oh, I got to come back this one. And I remember calling the VP of sales of this company that wanted me for a day and a half. And he wasn't there. He wasn't in. Oh, man, I talked to his executive assistant. Said, I got a problem. So anyway, I wound up writing him an email. And right up front, I said, if you want your deposit back, here it is. We can just walk away. And I gave him like four different options. And it's amazing, but he called me back a few hours later, said, Mark, I appreciate your candor. We'll move the meeting. It was a pretty sizable deal too. I said, oh, I'll just give back the deposit. I said, I blew it. And he appreciated it. In fact, it's funny, I just recently did that event. And fortunately, it was an event where it was just me. I was the only person for this particular event. And so they could move him. And that's how he introduced me. He said, you know, we were supposed to be together a few months ago, but we had to change it because of Mark's schedule. And I absolutely appreciate that he was very forthcoming of saying that, hey, he made a mistake. There was no excuses made, just said what it was. And you know what's interesting is I sleep better at night. You sleep better at night when you just do full disc. Don't make up excuses. Don't make up things. Just say it. I blew it. I made a mistake. I own it. Own it.
I think this fits into this world so well that we have all of this AI that's allowing us to be stupider and faster at an incredible rate, breakneck speed. We're able to bypass a lot of, you know, human-to-human communication. And, you know, I as a person who grew up in the sales world, been doing this for 10 years, I have absolutely made these mistakes. And I think that if I were a listener and I'm listening to you speak about this, I would say, Mark, I'm a good person. Like I think that I'm trying to help people. I do my best every single day. And I still end up in these situations where it feels like I am trying to, you know, either tell the truth or make an excuse. And sometimes I'm just trying to solve the problem. And these excuses are buying me a little bit more time to solve the problem for the client. They'll just be happier if I solve the problem for them than give them an excuse or give them, you know, the truth. And I don't think it necessarily says that people who are kind of dealing with this Sophie's choice are like, this is a being a bad person or being a good person. It's sort of in this gray area. And you're kind of, this is one of those situations. So, you know, walking through that process, how do you coach salespeople to look at this scenario where they've made a mistake and it wasn't necessarily like, you know, they didn't do it on purpose, but it has to be resolved one way or the other. How do you coach them through this process?
You say you got to play the long game. Play the long game. This is number one. It is so easy. It would have been so easy for me to, you know, say, I'll come up with some sort of an excuse and yada, yada, yada. That's the short game because you're playing, now you're talking commission breath. And you have to be willing to play the long game. And integrity is going to win. I could sit there and say, you know, really, my person who normally handles my bookings and everything, she came back off vacation and she could have, but, you know, I could have said, oh, well, she failed to double check. No, just own it. Just own it. And when you own it, it's amazing how the customer respects you a whole lot more. Because in this world of deflection, where everybody says it's somebody else's fault, you will earn greater stature in the eyes of anyone when you just own the mistake, own the problem, say, we're going to fix it. We are going to take care of it. That, to me, is a breath of fresh air. And you sleep better at night. I mean, you sleep better at night. There's no cover-up. There's no ongoing thing. Well, what if they find out this? No, there's nothing. It's this is the way it is. And what happens is you wind up developing a deeper relationship with the client. This particular client, they've already asked me to do additional work for them. They've already asked me to do additional things. And I've developed a tremendous relationship with the VP of sales and the CEO of the company. Great relationship. It's been fantastic. And if I had made an excuse, yeah, we probably would have held the deal together, but I wouldn't be looking at the follow-up work I'm getting. I would not be looking at the follow-up referrals and additional connections and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And so integrity pays out. You don't always see it. And short term, you can say, oh no, I'm going to miss my number this month. Here's the whole deal. If you're at the point of saying, if I miss this number, I'm going to get fired. Then you know what? You haven't done a lot of things up to that point, right? Because again, it just, something's not there. I firmly believe that when you sell with integrity, you actually wind up with a more full pipeline. And things just happen. Because again, your reputation also arrives before you do. Stop and think about this. Your reputation arrives before you. Nobody takes a meeting with a salesperson without first checking them out on the internet. And it's amazing what the internet has to say.
He's one of the people say. So your reputation arises before you do. And that is another key piece that you better make sure that your social media, your company's website, you all the kind of lines up right. Otherwise, the dog don't hunt.
In a lot of ways, this deeply aligns with your work in high profit prospecting, in all of the work you do at the Sales Hunter University and all the work you've done with all these companies where you preach prospecting is your responsibility. It's your obligation to the world to go help people. And if you're at the point where you have lots of scarcity, you have a mindset of scarcity, you don't have a full pipeline, you're not selling deals. If this one deal that you're going to be working on is going to make or break your month, and that you have one deal that's going to get you over the line, but every other deal has come through, it's easier to play the long game than if it's the only deal you close that month.
And Eck brings up, because you talk about scarcity, we have to have a mindset of abundance. You have to have. So much of sales is your mindset. The gentleman who plays for the Philadelphia Eagles, I can't remember his name, but when he's on the sidelines, he's reading a book. Because he says football is 90% mindset. Now think about that. Football on the field. Wait, that's, 90% mindset. So if it's 90% football mindset, I bet it's not 98% mindset for us. So it is. When you have the right mindset of abundance, there's more opportunities. And this is why I also say that the valleys are never as low as you think they are, and the mountaintops are never as high as you think they are. Again, you play the long game, and your goal is to just, with every conversation, leave the person where you've earned the right, the privilege, honor, and respect to be able to have a conversation with that person again. You do that, hey, you know what? Things are going to work out. They will work out. Just put one foot in front of each other. It's consistency. That's one of the key things about sales. It's consistency.
I really enjoy that visual of the mountains and the valleys. It's never as deep as you think it is. It's never as high as you think it is. In fact, if you think it's super high, you have to remember that on the top of a mountain, there's another side to that mountain. And the higher the mountain, the deeper the valley. That is the math on how that works. I want to pause real quick. Because of this book, that I'm going to read the title again, Integrity First Selling. You've written this and you're putting it out in the world. Who in the world should be reading this? Who should pick this book up right now and start really digesting what's inside of it?
Well, first of all, it's designed for salespeople, but it's designed for sales leaders. I have a lot of pieces in there talking about what sales leaders and even the C-suite should be doing. I go through a whole series of questions in terms of, as a company, you need to be asking yourself from an integrity standpoint, because integrity starts at the top of the organization. I mean, you know, it really is kind of funny. You've got kids. The parent-child relationship carries over to the workplace. It's amazing, right? I mean, it's amazing. The culture of an organization starts with the CEO and flows down. As a company treats their employees, it's how their employees treat their customers. It's very, very simply. So anyway, I share pieces in there. I share it. So again, it's really written. You know, it's kind of funny. A book I love, and I know you have read the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. You know, you think about that. I say that's one of the best sales books. Other than the ones that this guy named Jeb has written. Yeah, Jeb's written some pretty solid. In fact, he's got his own wing in the Library of Congress. But Atomic Habits by James Clear, it's not a sales book because it benefits everybody. But boy, it sure resonates for sales. And I think this is what Integrity First Selling. Yes, it's a sales book, but it resonates with everybody.
I think that the leaders who are listening to this podcast, if you've felt moved by any of the stories or what Mark is saying, and I felt this on sales teams, being in the rooms with leaders where you have half the team doing their job and the other half that is sort of winging it. And it's not that they're necessarily, you know, twiddling their mustaches and then, you know, putting their hands together. If you're on YouTube, you can watch me do all these little fun movements. But if you think that salespeople are doing bad things on purpose, that's almost never the case. For example, Mark, I just interviewed a Secret Service agent, and he had this beautiful sort of position philosophy about going into the interrogation room. And it was, if I give people something, they typically give me something in return. We call that the law of reciprocity. And he said, most people, they think that they're the heroes of their own story. And so they built this narrative, and as soon as someone just gives them the opportunity to do the right thing, they want to do that thing. It's insane how if you are a leader and you're going, like with children, but if you're going into your office place and you give people the frameworks and the railroads to run on to be someone with integrity, they typically want to be that person. There's other things inside of their mindset that are kind of holding them back from that, and you can remove those barriers as a leader with this book. Can you speak to that a little bit more, Mark? I think you had something to say there. It looked like you kind of perked up when I started talking.
Yeah, because I tell you what, when we elevate others around us, it's amazing what happens. There's a phrase that I love to use. I want everybody to have a big ego. I want everybody to have a big ego. Oh, it's not what you think it is. It's E-G-O, empowering greater outcomes. When I empower greater outcomes in other people, it is amazing at what happens. And this is really what you're doing with customers. You know, it's interesting. I have a phrase I use: sales is leadership, leadership is sales. And my definition of sales, my definition of leadership is exactly the same. It's helping others see and achieve what they did not think was possible. Stop and think about that for a moment. Show me a good salesperson, what are they doing? They're showing their customers how to see and achieve what they didn't think was possible. Show me a good leader, they're doing the same thing. So this is really at the core of what it is that we talk about. And when you put the other person first, it is amazing at what happens. It's kind of what I refer to as quiet leadership.
Mm.
It's leadership that occurs when you're not there. And this is what a good salesperson does, because you create relationships with customers where things happen when you're not there. They talk about you to other people. They share with other people how good your company is. And that's the mark of integrity selling. And this is what happens, because I firmly believe that when you sell with integrity, you get clients who have integrity. If somebody is destined, is determined to take advantage of people, they're repulsed by people who demonstrate integrity. They are turned off by them. They just don't hang out. But what I find is when I sell with integrity, I attract a higher caliber of client that I could close at a higher price and a higher margin. And you know what? They're not the ones who come back and nitpick, nitpick, nitpick. You know, I'm sure you've had this experience where
stop watching YouTube right now. I'm not reacting to this at all.
It's that low price customer, right? The low price customer is the one who doesn't understand your value proposition and nitpicks you on everything. And you're never, ever able to satisfy them. And that is so tragic. It's funny. I coach some very high-level CEOs. And it's interesting. They pay me on a regular basis. We rarely connect. And when we connect for like a 10-minute call. Their time is valuable, and they just want a quick input. That's it. And it's people who I coach who are low-level. It's like, oh, man, you're draining me. You're killing me. You're killing me. Integrity allows you to play at a higher level. And what's not to like about that?
I think that this is a really great tie-in to, if you're a college football fanatic like I am, unfortunately, and I have to deal with every season, I have to go through the college football ringer and gridiron and whatever that is. But Nick Saban, you know, in my opinion, one of the greatest coaches of all time, probably the greatest college football coach of all time. You know, there's other people who you could argue for that spot, but I think Nick Saban probably holds the most votes in that arena. And he says, and he built an organization where high performers do not want to hang out with low performers, and low performers don't want to hang out with high performers. You cannot have a mixed group.
You can't.
You have to have a consistent group. You mentioned the story earlier about this customer that you provided goods for, you know, a lot of product for, and they ended up not being the right thing, and you knew it. I think that pit in your chest that hits, and I've had this too, where you have sleepless nights and you sort of just know that the shoe's going to drop somewhere. You just have it in the back of your mind, and it does, and one day it will, and it does for you. I want you to coach yourself. You know, go think about that. Go back to that person, but as a leader, what would you have done in that situation to help yourself, help the customer, and potentially provide a better outcome, albeit maybe, you know, a different outcome, maybe not better, but different, and maybe with more integrity. So let's go through that process, and you coach yourself through that.
Immediately, as he's discussing the quantities, I should have said, let's think through. How much do you think all of your locations will be able to use? What's your strategy for moving in for it? I should have had a conversation with him. Instead, I was playing a game, just be silent, let the customer speak, and let them share. You know, I could have let them share and then say, you know, is that really going to be the right amount? And I should have stopped him right there. Even after I got back to the office, I could easily have called him. But by the time I got back to the office, other people knew. Now, wait a minute, if I change this, I'm not saving face with all of the people in the office who are elevating me as like, this guy's a superstar salesperson. It's unbelievable what he did.
And I remember I felt kind of queasy about that, but literally within about 2 months, I was transferred to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Your brain goes, oh, I've got away from it.
Got out of this one.
Yeah. And you didn't because you called back. And though it wasn't the consequences, though it wasn't, you know, necessarily something that you would say like, oh, justice was served necessarily. And, you know, hard to say what justice was in this scenario. We've all kind of been in these situations. But you did have that conversation with the rep who said, look, your name would not be good around here. And like, that's a hard one to take for the heart.
It was. And to be honest, I didn't call back. He ran into me at a sales kickoff meeting and came up to me and said, hey, you were the one.
He was like, oh, you're the one with integrity? I got a story.
That was long before this ever. Yeah. But I mean, that's probably one of the strongest stories. Because you know what's funny? If I had handled it differently, sitting right there in the buyer's office, nobody in the office ever would have known. Nobody would have ever known. Stop and think about that. Which is both good and bad. Good, because I could have had that conversation. We could have gotten the right quantity. And that account would have continued to like me. Da, 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 da. Instead, I gave the person who followed me a ticking time bomb. How do I deal with this?
Yeah. I've been in that exact situation, I would say. I think it's a very, if you're listening to this and you're in this, you know, very new part of your sales career, if you haven't been in sales before, or you're like right out of college and in this situation, I've done this several times where I was selling a product and this person came into, you know, one of our networking events, and then I started up a conversation. Things were going really well. They were a local business person who I was aware of in the community. And I would probably see this person at the Costco, at the Walmart, you know, hanging around town. We go to the same events, and they had a bunch of new businesses they were opening, like a bunch of new locations to a main hub. And what I was selling was telecommunications. So I was like, great, all these new businesses, are all these new buildings means all these new circuits. I can sell every single one of them. And I got into the situation where I had said to this person, yes, I can absolutely serve every single one of your buildings. I didn't even check. I just said, yep, I can do it, because I didn't want to say no and have, you know, that bad sales conversation. I said yes because I was overconfident and wanted to serve. And this person had all these, like, it was like six locations, and three of them were, had to like have construction for 6 months at a time to get our internet lines there. It was a complete cluster F. You know what I'm talking about. And I went to sleep every night for like 6 months. And I just remember thinking, like, if I see this person after I sold it, because, you know, wipe my hands. I went to some other department and he was calling me, texting me, and I was just answering my best. But I did know that if I met this person in public, like, I was going to be like looking away, like trying to find somewhere else to go, because that was not the right sale. That was not the right way to serve the market. And I think that this book that you've written and what you are doing for the sales community with writing all of this really highlights how important it is to make the right decisions when it matters.
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk about that for just a second, because this is what, when you don't sell with integrity, you make expectations. You make claims in the eyes of the customer that you can't honor. But what happens is somewhere down the road, we find a way to honor it. What does that do? We have margin creep. We start losing margin. And suddenly that sale that was profitable at X now becomes profitable at a whole lot less because of all the additional service, all the additional stuff. And again, this is why integrity, selling with integrity first, is absolutely critical, because it prevents that margin creep. It prevents all of that follow-up issue, all of that follow-up work. Yeah, because you're right. There was undoubtedly additional work that had to be done to get that installation all in place, get all those things taken care of. And it came at a cost to your company.
Cost to the company, cost to the customer, because it was time that they couldn't be in those buildings when they probably could have gotten another provider much quicker. And I could have been the integrity seller and said, you know what, I can handle these three, but in my estimation, I'm going to serve you best by passing you along to a colleague of mine in another business who can serve you much faster. And I probably would have gotten all of the 17 other locations this person opened. You know what I didn't get? Those 17 other locations.
Oh, gee, isn't it amazing? The long game. What you got was the commission check that bought you the first month's payment on your Corvette. What you missed out on was the total commission that could have paid cash for that Corvette.
I can't buy a Corvette. I've got too many speeding tickets. I'm just kidding. Mark, man, it's so good to spend time with you. First and foremost, I want to let everybody know that you can find Mark's courses on SalesGravy University. Go to SalesGravy University, learn.salesgravy.com. He's got lots and lots of courses, including his high profit prospecting courses. They're incredible. You can go view them on SalesGravy University. But Mark, you're also in all kinds of other places. So where can people find you? Where can they buy this book? And where can they get more information about how they can be a more integrity-driven seller?
Yes. Okay. You can go to Amazon to get the book. Anyway,
the website, thesaleshunter.com. I also have a chance. You got a great podcast. I'd always wake up in the morning and say, how can I catch Sales Gravy Podcast? I got two of them. See, I had to have two to try to catch you. Sales Logic is one of them. And the other one is the Sales Hunter Podcast. And one day we will be as big as Sales Gravy. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And the Sales Logic Podcast, by the way, if you're listening to this, has won an award for best podcast of 2025.
Yep.
So that way, incredible podcast that you do with a few of your colleagues. And then the Sales Hunter Podcast is what you do. You're also live streaming all the time. So y'all go follow Mark on LinkedIn. Go connect with him at saleshunter.com and listen to his podcasts. Go get his new book, Integrity First Selling, anywhere you can buy books. But Amazon.com is a great way to go get it. And then otherwise, Mark, we really appreciate you joining us on the Sales Gravy Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks so much.
Nooks brings prospecting, emailing, and parallel dialing into one single workflow. Their AI agents handle the busy work so your reps can focus on what matters, live conversations. Stop wasting up to 80% of the day stitching tools together and start hitting your numbers with Nooks. Go to nooks.ai to see how artificial intelligence plus human intelligence equals more pipeline. That's nooks.ai, N-O-O-K-S.ai.